inconceivable. In the 1987 film The Princess Bride, Buttercup, the woman engaged to the prince, is kidnapped by three bandits. These bandits are pursued by a man dressed in black and wearing a mask. First, he pursues them by ship, seemingly catching up with them out of nowhere, to which the leader of the group, Vizzini, shouts, "Inconceivable!" After docking their ship, the bandits believe they have reached safety at the Cliffs of Insanity. Fezzik, the biggest and strongest of the group, straps the other two bandits and Buttercup to himself and then proceeds to pull all four of them up with a rope, scaling the cliffs with only his two hands. But on the way up, another one of the bandits, Inigo Montoya, looks down and sees that the man in black is also climbing the rope and that he's gaining on them. Vizzini mutters, "Inconceivable." The bandits get to the top of the cliffs and the man in black is still trailing them on the rope. Vizzini begins to saw through the rope with a knife. After a few seconds, the rope is cut loose and slides down over the side of the cliff. The three bandits look over the side of the cliff to see the man in black clinging to the cliff. Vizzini incredulously shouts, "He didn't fall? Inconceivable." Inconceivable. It's one of the most well-known lines from The Princess Bride, and with good reason. Vizzini says it repeatedly, always surprised by the man in black. Just as Sarah was surprised by God in today's text from Genesis. Many, many years before Abraham meets the three strangers by the oaks of Mamre, God had promised that Abraham would be the father of many nations. Yet he and his wife Sarah could not conceive a child. Each time Abraham and Sarah lay down together, I imagine that promise from God was diminished just a bit more. And perhaps after several years, it began to feel hollow, as if God had let them down, making a promise that could not be kept. So when the three strangers, one of whom we know to be God, shows up at Abraham and Sarah's doorstep, promising Abraham to return to him in due season, and his wife Sarah shall have a son, it's natural that Sarah would laugh, a laugh that could easily translate to inconceivable. There's no way, at least according to simple human biology. Sarah and Abraham were old. She was well past menopause. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." Sarah makes me think about all those times we believe God to have promised us something and yet feel as if we have been let down. I think about all those women, many of whom are my friends and my family, who try and try to conceive, but their bodies seem to fail them over and over again. Or those like me who made promises to be with each other in sickness and health, believing the days of sickness to be well off into the future, only to find out that those days come sooner than expected. Or those who listen to God's promises for new life and yet still find themselves stuck in a pattern of death and self-destructive behavior. And now in this 16th month of the pandemic, I cannot help but think about all of the times returning to life with a life without care of contracting a virus seemed impossible. It seems to me that Sarah's experience is not unlike our own. We hope for God to intervene in our life, to grant us what has been promised, And then we see no evidence that God is doing anything about it. Especially when the longer something goes on, the more the situation looks impossible and our hope fades into hopelessness. And yet there are those words that to Sarah from the stranger, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is there anything too marvelous or astonishing for God? The answer, of course, is no. Nothing is too wonderful or impossible for God, even long after we have given up hope. It was long after Sarah and Abraham had come to understand their hopelessness as normal, resigning themselves to a closed future, that God comes and upends their expectations, breaking the grip of hopelessness and death, the grip of barrenness in their lives. In much the same way, it is in our hopelessness and grief that God finds us, unraveling the world that we have come to expect before helping us to see the promise of what can be. It was about this time last year when some of that hopelessness was starting to set in for me. After I initially, and now looking back foolishly, thought that it would only be a few weeks or a month that we would be in quarantine and apart from each other. But then the stay-at-home order here in Virginia lasted until mid-June, and the weeks stretched into months, followed by hundreds of thousands of deaths. We began to feel as if we would never emerge from this pandemic. Yet it was in that hopelessness that God repeatedly showed up. Just as God appeared to Abraham and Sarah as travelers needing a respite from the sun, God appeared in all of you. You all have been incredibly supportive of the church and of one another, showing up for Bible studies and small groups, encouraging each other amid loneliness, supporting those who may have lost income by paying their rent and buying groceries, and by continuing to give to support local organizations that are also doing the work and have been for many years to support the most vulnerable in our community. Even outside of our faith community, I've watched as members of our wider community came together to support each other. Everything from posting tips on where to find toilet paper when there was none to be found, to making the trek to the store for an elderly neighbor or someone who was immunocompromised. And then in the shadows of winter, when cases were surging and people were dying, the vaccine became reality much sooner than expected, instilling me a bit more hope that life could be normal again. God will find us in our hopelessness. God does find us there and breaks apart our expectations of what is, finding ways to show us what can be. That love can and does find our ways into our lives when things seem bleak, and that where we might expect barrenness, there will be life. And perhaps the only response that we have to that is to say, inconceivable.